Ahora en McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken Meal Deal o un $6 McDouble Meal Deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again! The Cavaliers are NBA champions!
Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it is Friday night. Welcome in to the next generation of sports radio at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I am Alyssa Walker. We are loaded with another outstanding lineup over the next 2 hours. Very excited to open our program tonight and highlight the NBA Finals. Always a true pleasure to have back with us from Sirius XM NBA Radio, and that is Mr. Mitch Lawrence. Good evening, Mitch.
Good evening, Alyssa. Thanks for having me on. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. This is such an exciting time of year. Of course, game one, it took forever to get here on Thursday night, and I know it's really early in the series, but in your mind, Mitch, I mean, who has the edge, and how do you ultimately see this playing out?
Well, I think Golden State has the edge because, you know, they got the home court, and they've got, two MVP, recent MVPs in Curry and Kevin Durant. And they're going to need all that because the other team is right behind them with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. But I still think because of what happened to Golden State, especially last June when they had the 3-1 lead, commanding lead, and then we saw what happened with Draymond Green being suspended for Game 5 and Bogut being hurt for 6 and 7 and the Cavs making an historic comeback. I think that's a thing that's been motivating, Alyssa, the Warriors all year long, plus adding Kevin Durant. So I think they're they have that kind of edge going for them.
Okay, so when we talk about the Warriors and think of deciding factors in this series, does it all come down to defense and trying to defend LeBron James? I mean, what can the Warriors throw at him to keep him in check?
Well, you know, the Warriors in the past have had some, I don't want to say people have success against LeBron because nobody really stops LeBron, but when you have an Andre Iguodala, who's been a key, and, you know, he's the finals MVP a couple of years ago and played him pretty well last year until the last three games. And you have a guy like a Draymond Green. Right then and there, I mean, Draymond Green is one of the top two-way players in the game. He might, you know, be the defensive player of the year this year. So right then and there, you've got a lot to throw at LeBron. But, you know, the way LeBron is, he's been playing such a high level with the you might be able to slow him down here and there. I mean, I go back to the finals last year. In the last three games, LeBron played 42-plus minutes of Game 5, 42-plus minutes of Game 6, and all but a minute and 11 seconds of Game 7 with that amazing block he made on Iguodala.
Yes.
Down the stretch to preserve the Cleveland's first, you know, major sports title since 1964. It's hard to get him off the court. He only had 5 total fouls in the last three games. So that's something that they're going to have to figure out, how they can deal with LeBron. You're not going to stop him. Maybe you slow him down here or there. Maybe he doesn't shoot that well from the perimeter at points. But I'll tell you what, he went through the Eastern Conference. He was something to see. I mean, we all saw. He's playing like he's 27. You know, he's not playing like he's 32 years
right.
old with, you know, 7 straight finals. It looks like he's still in his prime. So he's going to be a handful the whole series.
And if you're the Warriors, you really can't commit to one particular player to, ISO on him. I mean, I would think you've got to make some switches defensively because, as you said, his ability to play for such long stretches of time.
That's the problem. You know what? And he's not always looking to score. I mean, there'll be games where he comes down and looks to score, and he'll look to set up other guys. I mean, the thing for Golden State, and I think this is a thing people have to remember, is in the last series against San Antonio, it was without Tony Parker and then losing Kawhi Leonard right away in game one, not having him for the last three games of that series. Mm-hmm. That took away all the Spurs guys who create for other people, the playmakers for the Spurs. And that made it harder for guys like Danny Green and Patty Mills to get their shots because they need Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard. And that took a lot of pressure off the Golden State defense. You didn't have to worry about, you know, dealing with the guys who can really create for others. Here, not only you got LeBron James, you got Kyrie Irving, who's been pretty much unstoppable. So the Golden State defense has been a tremendous defense all year long, ranked number one in so many categories, Alyssa. But now they really have to step up. They got a bigger challenge because not just LeBron, but Kyrie Irving. And they saw him last year in the finals, what he did, you know, bearing that game seven jumper to win it. They saw him on Christmas scoring over Klay Thompson at the end of that game. They saw him in the Eastern Conference, the playoffs. I mean, the last four or five games against Boston, he was outstanding. Kyrie's almost unguardable. Mike Brown knows that. So Golden State's defense has their biggest test, no question, so far this playoffs.
He is back with us at SB Nation Radio from Sirius XM NBA Radio. Also, check him out online, wonderful NBA columnist with Forbes and Sporting News. That is Mitch Lawrence. Also, connect with us tonight at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Okay, so we talk about and break down the Warriors defensively. But tell me, Mitch, where do you see the Cavs defensively? Because I know when you were on the show in the past couple of months, we talked about how there was a drop-off after the All-Star break with the Cavs defensively.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In the Eastern Conference part of the playoffs, and I know for a lot of people it doesn't count because the Eastern teams aren't very good when they're playing, whether it's Indiana or Toronto without Kyle Lowry for the last couple of games, or Boston especially. You know, I'm still amazed Boston won a game without Isaiah Thomas. But anyway, you know, the Cavaliers, yeah, they were knocked up for their bad defense a lot. And obviously against Golden State, they're going to have to play a lot better at the defensive end. But I got to caution and remind all your listeners, mm-hmm. Alyssa, that, you know, this is a team that's won a title with their core guys. I'm talking about LeBron, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, Tristan Thompson. They've added the Deron Williams and the Kyle Korvers, but they've had J.R. Smith and Shumpert. These guys know what it takes to win a title now, and you've seen that in the playoffs, especially at the defensive end. When they've needed to come up with a big block, when they've needed to come up with a big stop, when they've needed to come up with a steal, LeBron can do that for you. Kyrie can do that for you. Even Kevin Love will make a big play at the defensive end, or Shumpert, or J.R. Smith, or, you know, Tristan Thompson. So, yeah, defensively, when they lost 14 of the last 24 games in a regular season, and that, by the way, was months ago now, it was different. They were not plugged in. They were not amped up to play defense. They were a distracted team. They were a championship team that was experiencing a lot of hangovers at different points of the season. A lot of that was, I think, from LeBron himself, who coasted at points, took some games off, coasted, because he had to pace himself for getting back to this point in June. After all, it's seven straight finals. But now, yeah, the defense will be under the gun, but I think they're going to have some moments where they're going to be able to deal with Golden State. Oh, Golden State's a handful. I mean, you got Durant and Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and on and on. So, yeah, this will be the big test for Cleveland, obviously, but don't be surprised if they come through at points, because these guys now know what it takes to win a title. They got that, as LeBron calls it, that championship DNA.
Hey, you bring up a great point. Yes, the Warriors are loaded with a ton of stars. So much attention on Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, but the Cavs, they do have to be mindful of Draymond Green, because he is someone that can make a serious impact in this series.
Well, they remember Draymond Green.
You bet.
LeBron remembers Draymond Green from last year. And that, by the way, that turned the tide in that end of game four. Golden State goes up 3-1. LeBron and Draymond get into it. I thought it was LeBron, one of the greatest moves he ever made on the court, stepping over Draymond and getting him to retaliate. We know with his flagrant foul situation, the retaliation cost him the suspension from game five. That basically turned the tide, because if they had Draymond last year for game five up 3-1 in Oakland going home, I don't think they would have lost the series. So Cleveland knows all about Draymond Green. He's an instigator. There's that line where he'll cross it. He'll try to get into you, you know, psychologically. He'll do a lot of stuff with mind games. But Cleveland's, you know, they're ready for that. What you have to worry about with Draymond Green is that he's a guy who really can do a lot offensively for Golden State, facilitating, helping Durant out. Of course, you know, when they've reached some rocky moments in the playoffs, they've always put the ball in Durant's hands, and that's a luxury that they can have, because they've already got the reigning MVP in Steph Curry. I know that's going to change this year. It's going to be Westbrook probably, or maybe Harden, but it is Steph Curry still who's the reigning MVP. But Draymond Green can do so many things with his all-around game, with his defense, his blocks. We've seen in the playoffs before. So, yeah, he's going to be something for Cleveland to contend with, but they've been going up against him now for three straight Junes, so it's not going to be any surprises.
Mitch, what comes to your mind on how to minimize Draymond Green and his ability to, you know, the impact that he can have? Because it does affect the Warriors when they don't have him on the court, and if he does get into foul trouble.
That's true. I mean, look, he's got to keep his nose clean. He can't, you know, go off here and get into a situation where he kind of loses his mind and goes off the rails on the Warriors. And they got to keep him in line. We see Curry done that. And, you know, that's one of the things about not having Steve Kerr, is that that's a big deal, because that's now You know, Steve Kerr was able to deal with him, and we'll see if he starts getting overheated here with this. It's so emotional. The game's played such at a high level. There's so much at stake that they have to watch it. Now, on the flip side, the Cavaliers are not, they're not going to, you know what, they're not going to feed into whatever he's throwing at them with his trash talk and whatever. So they'll be prepared. I think everybody is going to be wary of getting involved in the mental. There'll be some mind games. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be some gamesmanship. We'll see that in the series because they're two really competitive teams and they're evenly matched. But I think the nonsense with Draymond Green, I think he might be past that. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. He's got a lot to prove.
Hey, the 2017 NBA Finals are underway. We're going to continue our conversation with Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show in hour number one. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and we're going to continue breaking it all down, the NBA Finals, as we get set for Game 2 on Sunday with Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Mitch_Lawrence. And I tell you what, talking about getting emotional, many NBA fans get emotional and very passionate about when you start the debate on LeBron. Is he the greatest of all time? Is he better than MJ? So in your mind, Mitch, who would you rather have? Because it seems like the media are always debating this. Weigh in, my friend.
Can I have both?
That's a two-on-one fast break.
Can you give me the two picks in the all-time player draft? Can I have two picks? Actually, I'll probably take Michael Jordan and Bill Russell.
Okay.
But, well, look, it's a, you know, LeBron really can never match what Michael did. I mean, Michael, at his time in the league, for the league, what he did, and especially how he grew the league, I mean, overseas, people went nuts because, you know, yes, there was Magic and Michael in the 80s, but when Magic and Bird in the 80s, and then when Michael came along, he even took it to a higher level. For my money, I never saw a guy basically will his team close games in playoffs like Michael. They're different players. I mean, Michael was such a danger, such a threat. People feared him. I think opponents more feared him. I don't know how much they fear LeBron, although I'm sure that when he's coming at you with that body of his, guys will intend to get out of the way. But LeBron, by dominating, going to seven straight finals, he's definitely in the conversation as, all-time greats. I mean, look, last year, what he did in leading Cleveland back from a 3-1 deficit, nobody had ever done that. Of course, Michael would tell you he never needed to do that. He always got people eliminated in six games in the finals. And, of course, he was perfect six. No, what LeBron did coming back from that historic deficit to win, to me, that elevated him to another plateau. I mean, a lot of people, what they'll do is, instead of looking at who are the greatest ever, let's say who are the greatest by position. And for a lot of people, LeBron basically passed Larry Bird there and is now the all-time greatest small forward. Is he, you know, that's up for debate. But we know Michael's the greatest shooting guard of all time. Kobe's number two. In terms of the ultimate Mount Rushmore, where in my mind it's like the real Mount Rushmore, you only got four people up there. Michael's still up there. I mean, LeBron's got some work to do to get up there, in my mind, because he's got to work on his number of championships. That's obvious. Kareem's got six, and Russell had 11. And, I mean, even though Wilt only had two, a lot of people put him up there because he basically owns the record book, and there's Michael Jordan. Now, I don't know out of those four who's coming off there, but LeBron has got to win some more titles. I know he says his legacy is complete because of what he did for Cleveland last year, bringing that team, bringing that city a major sports championship, first time since 1964. But the rest of us who don't live in Cleveland, we feel like he's got to do a lot more winning to get even with Michael Jordan. Okay. And I don't know if he can ever get even with him.
Mm-hmm. So do you think Jordan faced tougher competition than LeBron back in his day?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do. I think that, and that's it's not LeBron's fault. I mean, the East has been a joke for a couple of years. He doesn't defeat a lot. He doesn't have to defeat a lot of 50-win teams. When you look at what Michael had to go through, whether it was now he lost to the Celtics in the mid-'80s and the late-'80s when they were still, you know, very formidable with Bird, Parrish, McHale. He had to go through Detroit. It took him three times to get through Detroit in the playoffs. And then once they got to the finals, it was pretty much, I mean, Michael dominated. He didn't play the greatest competition. He played some very good teams. He didn't play iconic teams. I mean, the one thing about Bird and Magic, as they had to get past each other in the 80s. And they were, I mean, those were the juggernaut teams. Those are some of the greatest teams of all time. Jordan really had to get through the Pistons. They're not considered one of the greatest teams of all time. The finals competition he faced was very good. There weren't iconic teams. Now, they're a lot better, though, than what LeBron's faced. Let's face it, in the East. But that's why when people want to make the argument for LeBron, they go back to that team last year that he beat in the finals, the 73-win Golden State team. Depends how you feel about the errors, how you feel about Golden State, but they did have the greatest regular season ever with 73 wins, and LeBron did beat them. And so that's obviously points for him when we're talking about this debate, but he's got to do a lot more winning here against Golden State because he doesn't face enough competition in the East record-wise. In terms of Hall of Famers coming out of the East,
sure,
we have to
sure.
get through. He doesn't have that either.
Well, you know, Mitch, the NBA, it has changed so much over the years. And I just have to wonder what the perception of Michael Jordan would be if he was in an era that was ruled and dominated by social media.
A lot of people think that he'd have problems. First of all, I would assume he'd be like LeBron and he tweets stuff at times. But, you know, for my money, guys who were dominant in errors could translate to other errors. Michael was so gifted. He had such talent, but he also had the drive and the fire and the passion, and he had the game, and he had everything. So I think he'd be fine in this day and age. I don't think he'd disagree with that notion. I think he would basically have the same. The big difference is, you know, LeBron's buddy-buddy with a lot of competitors, including Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul.
That's true.
And Dwayne Wade. I don't think Michael would jump from team to team like LeBron has done. I don't think Michael would be friendly with people. That's just his nature. It's kind of like Russell Westbrook. I think that's why Michael sees a lot of, I don't want to say he sees himself in Russell Westbrook, but I think he appreciates how Russell Westbrook goes about his business as being, it's me against the world and it's me against you and I'm not teaming up with people. That's Michael Jordan. I think Michael Jordan, if he were playing today, he'd be the same way, and it would be all about take no prisoners, which is, you got to admire that, right?
Hey, just a few more minutes with Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio as we break down the NBA Finals. A lot of talk tonight about LeBron, but give me your thoughts on Kevin Love. What have you seen from him in postseason, and how has his role changed with this team?
Well, there's no doubt that winning a title, and this happens for players, I mean, winning a title is a big change for the players. You see that in Kevin Love. He's much more comfortable this year with his role, where he stands with Cleveland. It's not easy being the third wheel with LeBron James. I mean, go ask Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh had to do a lot of adjusting, too, in Miami. And remember, Chris Bosh lost in his first go-round in Miami with LeBron James when they went to the finals against Dallas in 2011. And Kevin Love, I think this year, he's shown that he's, you know, he's figured out what they want him to do. They figured out what he needs to do. The great thing for Kevin Love is he's avoided injuries. He's, you know, basically for the most part, I know he had a few setbacks, but he's been on the floor. He's been available. He's helped them. I mean, you know, last year there was a lot of talk. Well, if Cleveland wasn't going to win, would they move him? And then once you saw that they won, you knew Kevin Love. LeBron would want him back, and all the hierarchy of the Cavaliers would want him back, and there wasn't going to be a big change because he means so much to the team, whether it's especially offensively, stretching the defense, giving them a three-point shooter. Also, he's a tremendous rebounder. We saw that. He had his moments in Game 7 last year of the finals against Golden State where it was actually a plus defensively for him in guarding, even getting on a switch on Curry and then having a big rebound game. So I think for Kevin Love, he's in a real good spot in his career now where he's wanted. They know what they can get out of him. He knows what his role is. And that all comes from winning a title. When you win a title and you're battle-tested and you've got that championship DNA and you know your role, I think it's a lot easier than when you join a team and you're kind of feeling your way and you're finding out what your role is going to be. So he's in good shape.
Hey, check him out on SiriusXM NBA Radio, also NBA columnist with Forbes and Sporting News. That is the great Mitch Lawrence. Also, give him a follow at Twitter, @Mitch_Lawrence. Always a true pleasure to have you with us on this Friday night at SB Nation Radio. Thank you so much, Mitch.
Thank you, Alyssa. Good luck to you.
You bet. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Much more coming your way in hour number one at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell, and I am so excited about our next interview. That's right, we're going to continue the conversation talking about the NBA Finals and specifically the Golden State Warriors, the miraculous rise of Steph Curry. What an incredible journey it has been. Back with us tonight is Marcus Thompson II, sports columnist with the Bay Area News Group. Good evening, Marcus. Nice to have you with us.
Oh, what a time, right? This is excellent. This is so much fun.
It is. We are living a dream. Of course, game one is in the books. And the final series, I tell you what, it seemed like forever. It finally got underway. So tell me this. Give us the Warriors' perspective. What do they need to do in order to win this series and be world champions?
They need to keep the pace up. They need to, when they play fast, they are pretty unguardable. And that's how you kind of activate all of their talents. If they can keep pace and force Cleveland to play fast, they might just be too much for Cleveland. They also got to make sure, you know, LeBron and Kyrie don't go crazy. You know, we've seen what they can do at the end of a series, especially, you know, they were up 3, the Warriors were up 3-1, and then these dudes just put together some, you know, legendary performances. So they've got to kind of guard against that. They might not be able to stop LeBron, but they should at least be able to contain Kyrie Irving.
Can you give us the pulse on head coach Steve Kerr? I mean, it seems like the team is really rallying behind him. You know, he's had all of his issues with his back, and the challenge is there. It's been very, very difficult, and one of the most beloved coaches, I would say, in the league.
You know, he's kind of, I guess you would say he's inspirational leader behind the scenes.
Sure.
You know, he's really kind of fighting to be around and to be a part of this. He's at pregame meetings. At every practice. I mean, he's in pain the whole time, but he's kind of gutting it out. I think it'll be tough to see him in this series, but I think his presence is there, and obviously this is all his system they're running. So I know it's tough for him to sit out this, right? This is what it's all about, and he's having to kind of take a sideline view. Maybe that forces him to hop in just because he can't take sitting out, but I know his health is not 100% right now, so that probably means he's going to stay in the whole behind-the-scenes role.
You know, Marcus, long-term, how concerned are you as we even think ahead to the 2018 season as far as his ability to coach? I mean, this is the game that he loves.
I think it's something definitely to be worried about, to be watching, because it's been 2 years and it's not
right.
He had the initial surgery in July 2015, and here we are. It's still a thing. So I think it's definitely something. You know, he was pretty emphatic when asked about whether, you know, he would return at some point. And he was like, absolutely. So his spirit is still there. He's still like, and I'm going to fight this mode, you know. And you would think he might be at that part where it's like, maybe I should call it quits. But the difficulty is calling me quits or stop coaching. It's not going to change anything. He's still going to be miserable, and coaching is kind of his escape. So I think he'll be back, but it's definitely something you got to monitor because he needs to get his life back.
Okay, the Mercury News sports columnist Marcus Thompson II is back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love when Marcus is on the show because he provides some great perspective on the Golden State Warriors. So talk to me about this. I mean, is this the best team the Warriors have ever had? I mean, has the Kevin Durant experiment, in your mind, has it paid off? Because it's been, what, 9-10 months since he joined the Warriors in the month of September.
I think it's the best team they've had. And here's the crazy part. Like, they're just getting started.
Expecting
Kevin Durant and Steph Curry to re-sign, right? They're going to re-sign.
Yeah,
then they're just going to grow together. They've got all of these guys under contract for at least the next 2 or 3 years. And this is year one of what should be a 3 to 4 year window for them, and then they have to decide again whether they want to stay together. But this is just the beginning stages. This is like the first year of LeBron with Miami, so they're the most dominant they've ever been with Kevin Durant, and it's still in the infant stage. So not only are they the best team they have right now, there's no telling what they're going to be next year or the year after that.
So, Marcus, when you step back and you evaluate what he has meant to this team, to this franchise, to this organization, when we talk about Kevin Durant, what stands out? What comes to your mind immediately?
Elitism. Well, what Kevin Durant has done has made sure the Warriors will be elite for years to come. It is the whole kind of fluky vibe that they had, because they came, in the minds of many, they came out of nowhere, even though they actually had been building since 2012. But they kind of just burst onto the scene as a champion. Kevin Durant means the Warriors will be here for years to come. You're going to have to deal with them. Other teams need to start getting, you know, figuring out their rosters so they can figure out how to take down the Warriors. It's not going to be it was a blip, and then they're gone. With Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, as long as those two are together, the Warriors will be a contender. They'll be like San Antonio. That's what this team did. It went from a Miami Heat situation where it's going to be 2 or 3 years to San Antonio where this thing could go 6, 7, 8 years.
So what are you saying? KD is the true Big E, right?
That's correct.
There you go. They
got two Big E's. They got KD and Steph Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
Double the pleasure.
Uh-huh. Hey, Marcus Thompson II back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I got to ask you this since you're on the show tonight. What was your reaction to Doc Rivers' statement about Kevin Durant joining the Warriors that, you know, he was critical, you know, he was critical of the move?
You know, many have been. He sounds like a former player, right?
Sure.
Former players, they have this kind of old school vibe, like, you know, everything is still blacktop. But look, you got to take what Doc Rivers said in proper context. You know what Kevin Durant really means? It means his team is never going to win. The Warriors were a rivalry with the Clippers, and then the Warriors kind of own that rivalry over the years. And now with Kevin Durant, the Clippers have no shot.
Yeah.
So if you're Doc Rivers, you're looking at this like, see, now I have to break up my team. So, of course, he's not happy about it because, unlike most teams, he is directly affected by it. He's got to face them 4 times a year, and his road to the championship now has to go through Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. So he's probably a little upset about that.
Well, if you're Doc Rivers, I mean, you got to understand his point of view from a competition, as you're saying, from a competitive standpoint. I mean, because it totally changes the dynamic between those two teams.
Absolutely. No question about it. You know what? I like the NBA with super teams because I think it engages more fans than just basketball fans. Like now, like my wife is watching the finals and she can't listen about basketball, but she's into it. And that's what it happens. That's how it is with George and with Kobe and Shaq. It becomes the storylines and the drama. And how do other teams, like, figure out how to do it? Like, this is what makes the NBA great. So now these other teams need to get it together and figure out what they're going to do to take down the Warriors, just like the Warriors had to figure out what are you going to do to take down the Spurs, and so on and so forth. So this is what makes the NBA great. And already we're hearing Chris Paul to the Spurs, you know, stuff like that. That makes the NBA great because now you get to see how the puzzle pieces would move.
But it seems like the NBA doesn't like super teams. I mean, yes, as you're talking about, it attracts a lot of attention. Your wife is dialed in, you know, watching this team and the series. And it certainly, I mean, ratings-wise, television rating-wise, I mean, it spikes. But overall, it just doesn't seem like the NBA is really that excited about it. They want a little bit more parity.
Yeah, they have to say that because, you know, they're in a room with 32 owners and they got to act like they care about the Indiana owner, right? In reality... The final answer is, look, everybody's getting a cut of this, and business is booming. This is probably going to be the highest-rated finals of all time when it's said and done. The amount of money they're going to make off of this is going to be really good. And on top of that, we've been talking about the NBA since July 4, right? And nonstop, the NBA is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's no longer a winter sport. And part of that is because of stuff like Kevin Durant went to the Warriors and LeBron James. And, you know, so as much as they like to say, we want to give a shot to Minnesota, the truth of the matter is the NBA is becoming a global brand, and it does that because of storylines like Kevin Durant and Steph Curry going up to take down LeBron.
The 2017 NBA Finals are underway. Looking so forward to Game 2 on Sunday as we go one-on-one with Marcus Thompson II from the Mercury News sports columnist. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are in hour number one, and we're going to continue our conversation with Marcus Thompson II, the Mercury News sports columnist. But Marcus, are you surprised that this topic has continued to linger on, talking about Kevin Durant, you know, his decision to leave Oklahoma City, to leave the Thunder for the Golden State Warriors? I mean, the backlash, I thought, was just a bit surprising.
No, I think it'll be... I am surprised it's lasted this long, but I figured it would come just because, you know, the small towns, they care a lot about their teams. And that was, you know, he ripped their heart out. Like, that was legitimate hurt, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that they were mad, but here's the part that's a little bit surprising, that Oklahoma City is not alone in hating Kevin Durant.
That's
like,
true.
Other cities are like, yeah, we hate him too. Like, we're joining in with Oklahoma City and hating Kevin Durant. That's the part that's a little bit unique. Like, he's getting booed in Utah. Like, why does Utah hate him? He didn't do anything to Utah, but they hate him too. So that's his existence now. People don't like superpowers, and he definitely formed one with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson.
Okay, Marcus Thompson has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Mercury News sports columnist does an amazing job. Also, check out the website, riseofstephcurry.com. Come on, Marcus, we got to get a shout-out for the new book that was released through our good friends at Triumph Books, Golden, The Rise of Steph Curry. What's inside?
You know, we're going to learn about how Steph Curry pulled this off. How did this little kid from Davidson become an elite player, face of the NBA and Hall of Famer, and, you know, next to LeBron is one of the greats in the game today. Like, how did this little 6'3 kid do it? And nobody saw it coming. It wasn't expected. He wasn't a high school phenom, McDonald's All-American. He had one little run in college as a mid-major in the tournament, and that's it. And next thing you know, here he is. So it tells his story, his backstory. It gives you a lot of behind the scenes into how this happened and what it's like in the Steph Curry experience. And you know what else it is, Big E?
Uh-huh.
It is an inspiring story of overcoming your obstacles and adversity. Because believe it or not, he's the son of an NBA player, but his whole path has been littered with adversity, and each time he overcomes it. So if you like those type of, you know, heartwarming, overcoming stories, the little engine that could, then this book is for you.
You know, Marcus, I know we're short on time, so tell me if we've got to run, but you have covered Steph Curry since his rookie season. I mean, and I asked you this when you were on the show last time. I thought your answer was so interesting. Could you have ever anticipated that he would go on to be an NBA MVP and overcome, as you were just saying, so many odds?
Not at all. I thought he would be like a good player who makes an all-star here and there. That's what I thought. I mean, He was so small, and the NBA was so much about size and athleticism, but he really made us change how we view basketball. Now, you know, skill is nearly as important as size and athleticism. He spread the court. He's made a bigger court because he shoots from 30 feet when nobody does that regularly. I didn't see this coming. I didn't see, like, every 9-year-old in the country loving him. He just becomes such a phenomenon to watch it, like, all happen. And he's taken, like, a whole city with him because now the Bay Area is just on fire. And it wasn't always like this. We still now out here, like, can you believe this is happening? Because the Warriors for so long were terrible, and now it's like the Warriors are top of the basketball world. It's just crazy.
Well, it has been such an epic journey when you talk about Steph Curry. Tell me, you know, what fresh information did you provide about Steph Curry that perhaps we've never heard? Because so much has been chronicled about this amazing player.
Well, you know, we're behind the scenes all the time, so there's a lot of stuff that happened during the season and during his rise that just was not reported because, you know, it's behind the scenes, and that's just not what's covered. So you definitely get to go behind the curtain, so to speak, and behind the velvet rope. And then there's a lot about Steph Curry, the person, that people just don't know. There's some stuff I've been covering forever I didn't know. You know, there's a lot of things about him I didn't know coming up and what they mean to him. And a lot of it also is the why and the how. because we see this happening and we see like the end result, but we don't know why and how it happened. So this also provides an explanation because it really defies how things typically work in the NBA. You normally, when you get to Steph Curry's level, mm-hmm. you saw it coming. You heard of him when he was in middle school and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and his games, his high school games on ESPN, and we were chronicling him throughout college. Like, that's how it normally goes, but he kind of did it his own way. So the why and the how it happened and what that means for the NBA moving forward, all of that is new. But you'll really like the behind the scenes, especially with the family stuff and Riley and Aisha, some untold stories from behind the scenes.
And, you know, my final thought for you, Marcus, as you've been on the show tonight is, you know, it's so refreshing as a parent. I'm a mother of a 15 and 10-year-old, and when I think of Steph Curry, I mean, you talk about the consummate pro and a tremendous role model for our youth. I love the guy.
That's why you need to buy 100 books and just go pass
Amen.
Them out. Just go passing them out. Because it is. You know what? It's time
right.
we tell stories about good people. Everything
Thank
doesn't
you.
Have to be
yes.
centered on controversy and something wrong and something bad and something shady. Like, especially in the climate of our world where, you know, everybody's on pins and needles and angry. Like, here's a good story about a good dad, a good husband, and a good player who does his best to do
yes.
things the right way. Like, let's tell that story. That's one of the things I'm most proud of, is being able to tell the story of a good guy.
Check out Marcus's website, riseofstephcurry.com. Marcus Thompson II has been back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, does a tremendous job covering those Warriors. Okay, we'll talk again soon. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Much more coming your way in hour number two at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.